It's only one button. Think of how difficult I handle a TV remote. What a great song, Waymaker, Promise Keeper. How many have found that to be true in your life? Amen. Well, today is Mother's Day, and once again, happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers and grandmothers, because we know that your role as a mother never ends, and even after death, a mother's influence continues to live on. I want to ask the men a question. I've got Keith's attention. If you were to come back again, and I'm not teaching that, I'm just asking the rhetorical question. How many of you would want to be a mother? Men. I don't see any hands. That kind of speaks for itself in terms of how challenging the job really is. I want to begin today with just a short reading from Paul's second letter to Timothy. And it's found in chapter 1, verse 5, where Paul is commending Timothy's faith. And he says this, he said, "I remember your genuine faith, for you shared the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and then your mother Eunice." Lord, may we take from this what your Holy Spirit would teach us. May we be led by your Spirit as we honor mothers today. We ask this in your wonderful name. I guess it's an interesting question in that can faith be passed on? Now, we know that everybody's a free will agent and everybody makes their own decisions. But we also know that every free will agent is influenced by any number of sources. And so we can think about what the impact is of a grandmother's faith or a mother's faith on the growing child. I'd like to share a little poem with you this morning, mothers. And the poem is entitled, "No Occupation." She rises up at break of day, and through her task she races. She cooks the meals as best she can and scrubs the children's faces. Those school books, lunches, homework too, all need consideration. And yet the census man insists she has no occupation. When breakfast dishes are all done, she bakes a pudding, maybe. She cleans the rooms up one by one with one eye watching baby. The mending pile, this is kind of going back a year or two now. The mending pile she then attacks by way of variation, and yet the census man insists she has no occupation. She irons for a little while and presses pants for daddy. She welcomes with a cheery smile, returning glass and laddie. A hearty dinner next she cooks, no time for relaxation, and yet the census man insists she has no occupation. So all of you non-occupational mothers today, we still honor you and we still bless you in the Lord's name. This poem is a great mixture of humor and truth. It gently hints at what I consider to be an unfortunate tendency in our society, the tendency to think of motherhood and in particular to think of stay-at-home mothers as those who have no meaningful career or no fulfillment or satisfying role in our society. Now mothers, whether stay-at-home mothers or working mothers, certainly do a great deal of work around the home and caring for the family. Several studies, we study everything these days. I have a paperclip here. There's even been a study done on the future of paperclips and how many actually hold paper versus other things. And you'd be amazed at how many other things paperclips become involved in. But anyway, there is a mom salary survey. And it was done in October of last year, so it's rather current. It estimated the annual value of a stay-at-home parent as $178,201. I struggle to understand exactly what the one was about, but it does seem to be a big number, but it does underline the importance and the work that our moms put into our families. I think we should stop right now and give our moms a clap for all they do in the home, as well as many of you who are working outside. Amen. And while that work, whether at home or on the job, is very substantial and very commendable, the real value of motherhood is something that simply cannot be measured in monetary terms. It simply cannot be measured in dollars and cents because, after all, it is priceless. So while there may be some growing recognition in our society of the significant work that's required to be a mom, there still remains somewhat of a stigma in that motherhood as a career is deemed to be somewhat of less importance than that of a career in the workplace. But really nothing could be further from the truth. I believe that it could be successfully argued that strong Christ-centered motherhood, or even conversely, the lack of it, does more to shape the next generation and thus the future of our society than any other institution, even that of our schools and universities. If our census man in the poem defines occupation as something that provides a salary, then certainly motherhood is not an occupation. But that does not reduce its significance one iota. It stands to be just as critical, just as important, and just as influential as any other of the so-called occupations. So today, I just want to share with you some reasons why motherhood is so critical to our Christian faith. Some reasons why motherhood is to be honored, to be supported, and to be appreciated. First, I want you to notice in our short text that we read a moment ago how Paul could see the influence of Timothy's mother and grandmother in the development of his own strong faith. One of the things that I enjoy doing as a pastor is hearing people's life stories, particularly life stories of those who are following Jesus. I like to hear about how they came to know the Lord and why they chose to walk with Him. Now, we know that, statistically speaking, again, from many studies that have been done, the majority of people in our churches today come from a Christian background, at least one parent who was a strong Christian. So let's do our own little survey today. Of all the people that are here today, how many could point back to a Christian home and at least one Christian parent, mom or dad? So look at the vast majority of people that had that blessing in their lives. And as I listen to those stories, more often than not, there is a common thread that emerges. Many would bear testimony to the influence of a Christian mother's unceasing prayers. Yeah, of course, in many of those cases, it was a combined influence of Christian parents, but quite frequently, the role of a mother and her prayers that seems to be the dominating influence. And one of the reasons that motherhood is so important, that it is a position of opportunity. Opportunity. I want to ask you another question, full of questions today. Do you actually pray for opportunities to share your faith? Do you actually pray for opportunities to pray with others. We should be doing that, you know. We should be looking for and praying for those opportunities. And mothers are given a special opportunity to be actively involved in daily shaping and influencing lives in the next generation for the Lord. And based on countless testimonies, these influences often produce results in the next generation and even beyond that. Now, I'm sure that you have heard many testimonies from Christians who believe that their mom's influence and prayers were instrumental in them deciding to follow Jesus. For the men that were here a few weeks ago when Terry shared his testimony, he spoke about the prayers of his mom and his dad. I'd like to share just one amazing, I consider it to be an amazing testimony from my experience, and I think I've shared this, at least part of it, with some of you folks here before, but I grew up between Palmerston and Listowel, and my parents attended the missionary, it's called the missionary church then, which was a joint charge between Palmerston and Wallace, which was a church in the middle of nowhere in Wallace Township. How many know where Wallace Township is? Just about to prove my point here. Wallace Township. So my parents attended the Wallace Church, and the evening service was actually a joint service, sometimes in Wallace and sometimes in Palmerston. But there was a boy who, and him and his mother, his dad was deceased. This young man named Lee attended the Palmerston. He didn't attend the church, but his mother attended the church. He was a few years older than I was, and I don't ever recall meeting Lee personally at any time in my life at that stage. But I was certainly aware of his reputation. He was a frequent request for prayer, and his mom would bring those requests, and my mom was very much aware of them as well. And while I never met Lee, I certainly knew a lot about him. He was everything that my parents insisted that I would never turn out to be. And they were prepared to take disciplinary action to make sure that that prophecy came true. Lee was always in trouble with cars and people and you name it. He was into it. Some of them wouldn't want to discuss here at all. And so Lee was eventually arrested for passing bad checks, and he went to jail. And during that period when he was in jail, down in the Kitchener area, I better be careful when I say people are young, but that was relatively young. A young pastor who used to be a farmer and attended the Wallace Church and was my Sunday school teacher for a while, his name was Ted Montgomery, and he became a pastor in the Kitchener area, and he went to visit Lee in jail. And after Ted left, Lee took Ted's business card and threw it in the garbage. And his cellmate said to him, "You better get that card out of the garbage and keep it, because someday you may need help." So he did that and put it away. Well, eventually his hearing for parole came up. And the judge told him that, he asked him where he was going to go, and he said he was going to go back to Palmerston. And he said, "Well, you're not going there. You'll just get into trouble again. And unless you've got somebody that comes to take you and look after you, you're going to stay in jail." So Lee took the card and he called Ted Montgomery. And Ted and his wife took Lee into their home and insisted that he go to church. And at church, he met a young woman named Ruth. And between Ted and Ruth, Lee came to know the Lord. Many years after that, all of this unknown to me, Connie and I had built a cottage and we were working overseas, and once in a while we'd attend the church in Salvo Beach. And one day I noticed his name, Lee Detmer, on the bulletin. I said to Connie right away, this can't be the same guy. But it was the same guy. It was the same guy. So eventually Lee came to know the Lord. And when Lee was catching up with me and telling me this story, he shared that he believed that it was the prayers of his mom and my mother, who used to get together and pray for him, that were instrumental in him becoming a Christian. Now, I apologize if I've told you that story before, but it, to me, it's powerful in illustrating the power of the prayers of mothers. So mothers, keep on praying. So Lee went to be with the Lord a few years ago. Where might he be today without the influence of a mom's unrelenting prayers? So why is it important that we honor mothers and support and encourage them? First, because they have the opportunity and the challenge to battle in prayer for the eternal life of their children. They have the opportunity, and might I just ad lib, you have the privilege of praying for your children. Yesterday, while starting Friday night, our granddaughter Alyssa was having discomfort and went to a clinic, and they sent her to the hospital in Hamilton to have her appendix out, and as you can imagine, she was quite concerned about that, and the hospital was full, and it's a long story, another long story. But anyway, in the middle of that, Alyssa sent us a text and asked us as grandparents to pray for her. What a privilege it is to be able to pray for your kids and to know that they're counting on you and counting on God to see them through the difficult moments in life. So moms, you have the opportunity and you have the privilege of praying for the eternal life of your children. The second reason that we should honor, commend, support, and encourage mothers today is because they stand in the front lines of the battle between the secular values of the world around us and the biblical values that God would have us embrace. In one generation, it's mind-boggling to stand back and think about the changes that have come about in our secular society. In my generation, we went to the one-room school. We opened with a reading of Scripture. We memorized the first song. We said the Lord's Prayer. We sang grace before lunch. And today, think about today. We are on the battle line between the values that God would leave with us and the values of our secular society. The education system, just as an example, has assumed, without parents' permission in many cases, the role of indoctrinating or ingraining our children with the values of the world. They have taken on the role that for centuries was left exclusively to that of parents. Here's what you need to think in every situation, they teach our kids. Many times, parents not even involved. And you know, our children are vulnerable. They typically view the individuals within the system as voices of authority, of people who are smart, people who are well-educated, people whose opinions and values should be respected. And so our impressionable children can easily adopt the secular values being presented unless countered by their Christian parents. And in many cases, this important job falls to the mom who's on the front line of the battle. To say that this is a cultural war is not an overstatement. The battle is real and is for the very soul of the next generation. And mothers, we appreciate you, moms. We appreciate you, grandmothers. You are on the front lines. And my prayer for these mothers today is that they would be powerfully anointed, that they would be spirit-fed on the word, and they would be led and empowered by the Spirit in this critical battle. And may they know that we are behind it. They are on the front lines. The third reason that we honor, commend, support, and encourage mothers today is that is because they are a source of unconditional love for their children. It's interesting and sad to think that sometimes those mothers might be the only source of conditional love that they might experience in their entire lifetime. Think about the implications of that. That's just a mind-boggling, a mind-troubling thought. And so mothers should be encouraged to continue to love unconditionally in this troubled world. Is love something that naturally occurs? Is unconditional love something that just happens? I think that moms are just born with that tendency to love. But I think as they work at it, as they meditate on it, as they experience it, I think it becomes stronger and stronger in the life of the child. And is that something that is passed on? Another interesting question. Perhaps in some cases it's not. But I do think that someone that models unconditional love through words and actions certainly would encourage by their lifestyle, by their unconditional love, they would encourage others to do that as well. And wouldn't it just make sense that a child who experiences unconditional love in his or her formative years would be far more likely to provide that same kind of love to their own child when the time comes? I do think that unconditional love can be passed from generation to generation. So I've covered just three of many reasons why we should honor, support, and encourage mothers, and for that matter, grandmothers. And now I want to turn our thoughts for just a few moments to how a mother or grandmother takes on this huge, formidable challenge of being a Christian mother in today's world. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, and I'm reading from the King James, Paul expresses the tension he was experiencing between wanting to continue to live or to die and to be with the Lord. He begins with these challenging words, "For me to live is Christ." Let's look at it a little closer from the NLT version. He says, here's what we read beginning partway through verse 20. He says, "And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die." How could you bring more honor to Christ, moms, than to influence the next generation for Jesus? "For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying," whoops, this one's tough, "is even better." So Paul is challenging each person here, and for that matter, all Christians everywhere, he's challenging them about what it means to be a Christian. What is life all about? For the Christian, for those who acknowledge the Lordship of Christ, it is living out God's calling and God's plans for your life in a way that brings honor to him. So if we put that in the context of motherhood or grandparenthood, it means committing yourself to living out your role as a mother, grandmother, I could add father here, or grandfather, in a way that brings honor to Christ. And what could be more honoring to the Lord? What could be possibly more important as the role of influencing your children for Jesus? Now note Paul's words carefully, found in verse 22. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. I can do more fruitful work for Christ. What could be more fruitful for a mother or a grandmother than influencing a child for Jesus? But I also want you to note, it appears that Paul's single reason, because he said it would be better for him to die as far as he was concerned, his single reason for living, he had come to this conclusion, was to be a fruit bearer. And then in verse 25, it seems that he realized that God was allowing him to live a little longer. And he writes this, knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. Motherhood, grandmotherhood, parenthood, grandparenthood is a huge challenge, folks. Greater challenge than it has ever been right up to today, and it is not going to get any less challenging or any easier. And moms, we appreciate, grandmothers, we appreciate that sometimes there are many tears. What's the old song say? I've had many tears and sorrow, many questions about tomorrow, and yet, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, through it all. Sometimes there's many tears, Mom. Sometimes there's unanswered prayer. Sometimes there's troublesome questions. But I believe that we should all stand on God's promises. He is the promise keeper. He is the way maker. And I believe this, that if you are determined to live for Christ through your motherhood or through your grandmotherhood, you will enjoy or experience the joy that Paul references here, the joy of your faith. If you've noticed my signature on my emails, it says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. And that's a personal testimony, favorite verse of mine. And I am praying that every one of you moms and every one of you grandmothers would experience that joy and believe that promise. Because I know that there are times that are very, very difficult, that things are not going as you hope. Maybe your children or grandchildren are not where you would want them to be spiritually. And I want to encourage you, based on the testimonies of thousands of others, to keep on praying. Keep on calling out to God. Keep on believing that He hears your prayer. Keep on believing that His Holy Spirit is powerful. Keep on believing that His Spirit will anoint you and guide you as you speak to your kids and your grandkids. And believe God for the unbelievable miracle.
Amen. Amen.
I'd like you to stand with me. Just with every head bowed, including mine, no one looking around. I know there are probably many people here who have been praying, earnestly praying hard, and are believing, hoping that the fruit will come. And we as a church want to support them, we want to encourage them, We want to pray along with them, and we want to believe God for the unbelievable miracles. If you're experiencing that kind of situation, praying for fruit but it's yet to appear, you just want to lift up a hand signifying faith, God sees that hand. He sees that act of faith. And Lord, we bring those hands to you today. We pray for that prodigal. We pray for that erring one. We pray for that one that's struggling. And God, we pray for a rich and powerful anointing on moms and dads and grandmothers and grandparents as they pray and as they model their lives and as they speak to these folks. Would you lead them? Would you guide them? Would you empower them? Would you quicken them? Lord, would you minister to them and through them? Lord, would your spirit be always at work in the heart of the prodigal? Lord, would the words that have been spoken in the past become powerful? May the unconditional love that's been bestowed be a major influence. We can't do it, Lord. Only you can do what we're asking. So we thank you, Lord. And we do pray a blessing on each person here today that has that parental role. We ask for anointing on them. We ask, Lord, that as a church you will help us to come alongside of people that are going through this and encourage them and support them and appreciate them. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, the way maker, the promise keeper. That is who you are, God. We bless you.